Welcome to the Talking Nutrition Podcast, where twice a week, you'll learn about all things health, fitness, and mindset. I'm your host, Yoel Investors, and it's my goal to simplify nutrition, provide you with actionable strategies, and teach you repeatable systems so you can create real results at last. Now, real quick, you won't find any crazy restrictive diets or quick fixes here, and the stuff that we talk about is basic, easy to apply, and effective. However, the only way to create change is by putting what you learn into action. Now go ahead and grab yourself a coffee, pour me one while you're at it, and let's dive into the episode. What's up and welcome back to the Talking Nutrition Podcast. Today is episode 91 and we are joined by my friend Alexandra Norton. We are talking about a new topic today, pregnancy and nutrition training, a bit of supplementation during pregnancy as well as after, how this is going to play into your fitness goals, how you're probably going to hold off, you know, for a little while, you know, with the dieting, the fat loss goals, that, you know, anything like physique related. Long story short, we definitely want to make sure, like, hey, we're going to be focusing on health of you, you know, and the kid, and just in general. Hey, listen, like, also our dudes who are listening, this is super important stuff. And I think it should be common knowledge, but it's not. So we're trying to do our best here to share this stuff. So let's get into the episode, pregnancy, training nutrition. I learned a lot myself. I think there's a lot of good takeaways. And yeah. Let's just dive in. And if you, of course, have any follow-up questions, feel free to reach out to me or Alexandra. I'll make sure to link her Instagram profile in the show notes. And of course, as always, guys, if you like these episodes, if you want us to bring on more cool guests, right, help us grow the show by dropping a quick 5-star rating on Apple, Spotify. Highly, highly, highly appreciated. Or hey, if you learn something new, like, feel free to share a screenshot in your stories, right? Now, let's get into the episode, Talking Nutrition 91, about pregnancy. All right, what's up? How are you, Alexandra?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I've been thinking of, like, who to bring on for this topic, because I had, over the last 2 months, I had, like, three clients become pregnant. And for me, it's like a kind of new territory, you know? So I feel like it's really cool to dive into this with you. So I wanted to introduce Alexandra. So you're going to see more of Alexandra pretty soon. I'm not going to give everything away yet, but you will. So that being said, give us a little bit of background, Alexandra. Like, what do you do? Why are we here? Kind of, you know, like, what, let's start with kind of like, what do you do? And then we'll just get into your fitness journey and then we'll talk about pregnancy and stuff. But I think, like, I'm curious about your background too, you know?
So at the moment, I'm working as a chiropractor in Kristiansand, and I work a lot with female health. And I'm also certified pelvic floor specialist, PT, and nutritionist. And I think that's quite a good combination to help people, especially female patients and pregnant patients. And I do love the human body, especially human anatomy. Like bones, ligaments, muscles, and just how we're able to move just have always fascinated me. And I guess that's also why I ended up as a chiro. That's a little introduction.
That's cool. You did judo as well, right? At like a pretty high level.
Yeah. I grew up in quite an active family. My mom and grandpa run the judo club, so it's kind of natural for me to kind of dive into that. So I think my first time where I kind of started judo was around 5. Cool. But it was around the age of 13 that I kind of decided that judo is something that I really want to go for. And I really wanted to be good at this sport. So I spent hours in the gym, training really, really hard to kind of become really good at that sport.
That's cool. I did judo as a kid. I can't remember how old I was, or young, I should say. It's a long, like long time ago, you know? I was never really good, I don't think. Or you know what? I can't even say that because I can't remember, to be honest with you. I would have to ask my parents if I was good or bad. Anyway, I do remember I loved it. Like at that time, like that was really cool. That's super long ago. I feel old now. But anyway, that's super cool. That was at like at a national level, right?
Actually international.
Oh, cool.
So as I aged, I actually became or I got into the national team. So I did compete in the European Cup at my latest stage, which was quite fun, but also quite hard and exhausting. But yeah, that's how sports are.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and this is something I talk with our CrossFitters and, you know, weightlifting clients about. It's like, it's sometimes hard where, you know, people have physical goals and then there's the performance. And like, how was that for you? Because I know judo is also like weight class based. And then, of course, you're also trying to make sure that you're fueling for your training and your, you know, competitions. Like, how did that go?
Oh, it's quite a difficult balance to find, really. Because, as you said, judo is a weight regulated sport, and I often had to cut some weight before my competitions. So in the weeks before my competitions, I had to manage my food intake quite well to be able to train hard, keep my mental focus as well, but also not be too heavy before my competitions. So this was obviously something that you couldn't really do for long periods of times. But it's amazing if you just kind of schedule things with your nutrition and training well, because you can accomplish great, great things, both in performance in terms of winning sports, but also in terms of body composition. Because obviously at for my competitions, I was, mostly just muscles, really.
Yeah. Did you do a lot of like weightlifting stuff to supplement like your judo training or?
Quite a lot actually, because judo you need to be fast, quick, strong, all of those things, and spending hours in the gym is quite important. So I had around at least 3 to 5 sessions just with weights and like different types of weight training, adding on to the judo as well.
Cool. How much was the judo then? Like how many sessions a week?
I should probably not say every day, but I think it was almost every day.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, fair enough. Like, of course this, let me say this for the listener, right? Because I also have a weightlifting, client who trains a lot, right? Who's actually potentially going to the Olympics. And that is different, right? Training like you, right? Training for actual like international competitions, doing that at a high level, that is different. And let's not forget that that also comes, and I want the listeners to notice, it also comes with more recovery focused work, you know what I mean? Or at least 100%. It should, you know what I mean? So that's a lot.
Yeah, I was basically just sleeping, training, eating. Yeah,
exactly. And that's like, I love that you say that, because that's the thing we tend to forget, right? People see their favorite CrossFitter, right? Train hard every day, you know? And then they think they can do that too, not knowing, hey, that person is, like you said, eating, sleeping, not doing anything sometimes, you know, like literally just resting while, right? Let's call it the normal person has the job, has the stress, the kids, little time, too little sleep. You know what I mean? So there's a big difference there. So of course that's okay. So that does make it more manageable, but of course that's still a lot though. Did you ever run into any issues like nutrition wise, maybe under fueling or
100%. I had competitions where I felt great, did well. And then I had competitions where just things went the other way around. I didn't feel like I had the energy. I didn't have the mental capacity to perform. And I lost my first game. And then if you lose in big competitions, you're out. Yeah. So it's, you kind of got both sides. And I think it's a good experience as well, because you get to know your body well and you know how things work. And you also need to kind of accept that it's not always things go your way, but then you learn from it and you just need to plan your nutrition and kind of training better.
Yeah, I feel like that's a big one that we tend to forget, right? We tend to forget, like, hey, you know, we start this transformation, or whether it's for performance or anything like health and fitness related, it's like, no, there will be setbacks, you know, there will be, absolutely. And I talked about this with our previous guest too. It's like, sometimes you kind of have to fall on your face to kind of actually learn, or at least like know your limits or those kind of things. I'm not going to say it's great in the moment, but if in the long term you get to learn and grow, it might not even be like a bad thing, like long term, of course. Like, of course, short term, it sucks, especially if you like lose a competition, you know?
But,
so do you...
You're not going to do the same mistake again.
No.
100%.
Yeah. And that's exactly the point. Like, that's why it's so valuable. When was the last time you did a competition?
I think it was in 2019, just the year before COVID.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And it's since then full like chiropractic,
yeah,
training, nutrition.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. So where did you kind of start PTing and, you know, coaching nutrition and stuff?
I think it was during COVID that I just had some more time to spend during my chiropractic course, because obviously we had more homeschooling. And then because this part with nutrition kind of always fascinated me, and I kind of experienced it as an athlete as well, how much it matters, both in terms of performance, but also how you feel in general. I just wanted to become more competent. So I applied for a nutrition course and also PT. And as a student, that's also a nice income to have on the side. So I just started out working with some clients, and it turned out that I liked it quite a lot. And I just kept diving into it and into it, and felt that I was kind of able to help people with big rocks that they didn't manage to complete themselves in terms of both training and nutrition. So after I started with chiropractic, I kept doing it because I just loved how much it could help people in terms of, yeah, nutrition and training.
100%. It's like one of those where you can't like think about like improving your, you know, physical health or just general health without addressing that food side of things, you know, like it's so important. It's cool. It's really cool too, because like, I feel like every PT / nutrition coach I've been in touch with, you know, like we all do this because like, it's from like a passion, you know, like because we've gone through things ourselves. And like you said too, like you start learning more, and then you're going down this rabbit hole and there's like more stuff to find out. It's like, it's fun also to keep learning, but like, it's so important. It's so important to teach people this stuff and to help them, you know, and to guide. So that's really cool. So kind of tying this into today's topic, so pregnancy related, like nutrition training, etc. How did you kind of get interested in that topic?
Could you just rephrase the question?
Yeah, of course. So how did you kind of get more into like the, you know, the pregnancy related, like nutrition, training and stuff?
I think it's just because I'm a big cheerleader in general for female health. And one quote that came over me was that females are not small men. And I think the pregnancy part especially kind of gives us an impression that that's correct, because no man can give birth to a child. And just the changes we're going through with our body is just amazing. And I think as well, the fact that we also have our menstrual period every month, and just how things changes within our body and our mind is just so interesting. And what I also found with myself, but also my clients, is that we do all struggle to understand how our body works and how our hormones work. One week we can be the happiest person on earth, and then the next week nothing really fits or you can be angry and you can't control your feelings and you just don't, you don't know what's happening.
Hey, what's up? Sorry to interrupt. I promise we'll keep it short. As you already know, we don't do ads here, and I really just do this podcast out of passion for helping everyday people like yourself learn more and get results. Now, because I do this absolutely for free, would it be cool to ask you for a quick rating on Spotify or Apple? You can do it while you're listening. It really just takes a few seconds, and it would actually mean the world to me and help us grow the show and reach more people like you. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to the episode. Kind of unfair if you think about it.
A little bit, but then I think we can also kind of embrace that we're different and 100%. Also just see the female body as a nice piece of work, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Sometimes complicated, but you know, no, like it's like I tell my you know, my male clients sometimes of like, hey, I know we're struggling right now, but you know, like, we still relatively, like, we have it easy if you think about it, you know, not dealing with menstrual cycle and changes in hormones. And of course, like, dudes also have issues, you know, but like, it's definitely like a whole other level. And you see more females having like autoimmune disease. And I feel like there's just way more, like, when it comes to like functional issues, it's way more like females compared to men, which is, yeah, again, it's kind of unfair. I'm not saying that men don't deal with stuff, but like, yeah, the girls definitely have a lot on their plate, you know? And it has such a big effect. Like, especially these days, it's like hormones or calories or, you know, like people kind of separate the things or like, no, we got to include all of this stuff into kind of like your health and fitness. Let's talk about that, because we talked about this a little bit off air before we hit record. It's such an important time, right? Like when someone literally like begins to develop a new human being, which is super cool, actually, if you think about it, but like, and impressive. But it's also a period with a lot of changes hormonally, mood, right? You start feeling a little sick, you know, like maybe motivation kind of drops, even thinking long term, like, okay, shit, like now I have to put my fitness goals and like on hold. People should not be dieting, you know. There's so much going on. And then, you know, like you said before, it's like people then sometimes kind of go for like the more energy dense foods. And, you know, as long as you get, you know, your calories in, then you're good. But like, no, like you got to get your macros, your micros, and just focus on that food quality, right? So let's start with kind of like let's actually start with the nutrition side. I think that's the biggest part. We can talk about like training stuff too. But what would be some just like big picture, like most important stuff to take care of before anything else?
So I think the most important part for women getting or just knowing that they're pregnant is to think that they need to start eating more whole foods. Because the nutrition during pregnancy can play a really big role, or do play a really big role for your child's health, and especially the neurodevelopment. Because the food that you eat is also the food that your child will eat. And to optimize growth and healthy development in the womb, you do want proper food. And there's actually been quite a lot of studies recently that's shown that it's a connection between mom's nutrition and the increased incidence of both autism, HDHD in kids, and also the huge numbers of developmental delays in children from 2 to 5. And this can be connected to the increased intake of ultra-processed foods. So that's important, mamas. Get your whole foods in.
Yeah, it's one of those where obviously it's an ongoing issue and has been for ages, and it continues to grow, right? Just the obesity, let's call it crisis, just in general, and people eating mostly processed food diets and all that. you said this before we hit record, like people sometimes then think, well, you know, I just need the calories. I just need to eat for two, right?
Well, you don't necessarily need more calories, except for the last trimester. Then you might need to eat a little bit more, around 200 to 500-ish, it's recommended. But what you need to think of is that you need more micronutrient-dense food, just because your baby needs a lot of vitamins and also good amount of proteins, and also healthy fats to develop both brain and their neural system. But also you as a mom, to function well, you need proper food. And the quality of your food is really, really important then. And most females get recommended to take folate early until week 12. But then there's not really a lot saying anything more about what you might need. And I think that might be an important theme to cover today.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because I think all micronutrients are definitely super important in general, right? But especially during pregnancy. But there's definitely a few that are even more important and that directly play. I mean, you mentioned like folate, for example, but that directly play into brain development, like super important stuff, which really like, it's actually super, like it's really like serious, you know, like you got to focus on this stuff. But I feel like, do you feel like just overall education is also like not super great at this, you know, when it comes to just, you know, teaching women like, hey, like these are specific nutrients or, you know, things to pay attention to?
100%. Like I said earlier, it's recommended for everyone to take folate, but they don't talk about, for example, choline, which is an important for cell function. And it makes the cells more robust for stress for both mother and child, and decrease also the risk of neural tube deficiency. And then you got zinc, iron, iodine is a big one actually. Over 70% of Norwegian females are low in iodine, and this is especially crucial for neurodevelopment for your baby, because if you're low on this during pregnancy, it can lead to low weight birth. Also premature birth, and also preeclampsia, which are quite serious things to consider. So kind of speaking more about these supplements, I think is quite important. And then obviously you also got another one, which is a big one, is vitamin B12, which is huge for especially vegetarians and vegans, which obviously are increasing numbers of moms that are at the moment. But this one is so, so important for neural development as well, especially as well in the postnatal period when you actually received your kid. Because as we see, if you're low in vitamin B12, you can get these sort of floppy babies or babies with low muscle tone. And you also see that these are the babies that don't crawl, they can't walk properly. They're also more at risk at developing more serious delays in terms of motor skills later. So these are really, really important things to get into your diet if you want your kid to have the best development and growth as possible.
Yeah, 100%. And I think one that's particularly important, I mean, just in general for everyone, but especially for you and me living in Norway and our Norwegian listeners, vitamin D2, you know, like
100%.
I mean, I don't know. Cause you like, so for the listener, like she lives like way south. I live way north. The sun comes up like 9:30 PM. I looked this up today. Sorry, 9:30 AM today. And then it goes down like 1:30 PM already. And like every day it's just getting shorter. And in maybe like 8 or so days, like our sun is going to go down. It's going to stay down for 2 months. Is it pretty similar for you guys? Like I know that you don't get actual polar night, right?
We do get less hours of sun, but yeah, it's not completely dark. I think in December time, we maybe have 5 or 6 hours where the sun is out.
Yeah.
So at least we get some, but then obviously if you're at work sitting in an office, during these times, you might not get the sun. of light.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. And vitamin D, like, that is, it's already low in most people. Like, I swear, every single time I've had people do blood work who are not supplementing, like, of course, we can't assume, but, like, at least every single time we've checked, it's always been low, you know? Quite often, like, super, super low. And that also plays into, you know, development of the baby. We mentioned, like, autoimmune, I think things like autism and stuff too, asthma. There's a bunch of stuff, like, also there, you know? Like, we want to get all of those basics. With vitamin D, like, we can't really get that off our diet, you know? Like, that needs to be, like, supplemented. But what do you think about the other ones, just in general? Like, would it be mostly a nutrition job, maybe nutrition and supplementation, like?
So I think vitamin B12 is a good one to supplement with if you're not a big fan of meat or chicken, or if you're vegetarian. When it comes to iodine, if you're not a big fan of fish, or if you don't eat milk, or lactose intolerant, for example, it would be a great thing to supplement with 100%. But for most people who do eat, especially milk, cottage cheese, yogurt, Greek yogurt, cheese, they should be able to cover their iodine. But then again, studies show that 70% of Norwegian females are low. So maybe it might just be good to do some blood work. That's what I kind of recommend, the ones to really want to optimize it. Just do the blood work and see if you're low on anything, because then you know exactly if you need to supplement or not. But I think vitamin B12, omega-3s, and vitamin D is maybe the ones to focus mostly on.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned iron before, but, like, also too much iron can be a bad thing. So I also, like, I want to state what you just said again, but, like, if you're not sure, like, get blood work done, you know? I don't want people to ever make a decision just based off a podcast, you know? So I'm always, like, I always bring this stuff up. It's like, hey, supplementation, like, anything like that. I mean, we are talking basic nutrients here, but, like, still, like, check with your doctor, right? Get some blood work done. Like, these are some serious kind of, like, times of your life. So, like, pay attention to this stuff, you know? I do have a little hack for iodine, actually. Or no, sorry, that's selenium. My bad. I was going to say iodine. No, I do know selenium is probably still important too. Anyway, I was gonna bring up Brazil nuts, because you can let you eat two and then cover your selenium, but, like, I mixed them up. Yeah, I mixed them up. Damn it. Okay. Anyway, either way, it's still important. So just have it anyway. No. Let's move a little bit towards, like, kind of the physical side of things, right? The training and all of that. Can you, like, let's start maybe, like, first trimester. Are there, like, a lot of changes there? Like, can you still train as usual? Or would you kind of take it down in intensity, or?
So in terms of trimesters, I always like to educate people a little bit about that, because most people consider first trimester to be the super easiest one, second one to be a little bit harder, and third one to be super hard. And that's not necessarily always the case. First of all, I just want to highlight that every female is different and every pregnancy is also different. So always consider yourself before and not compare yourself to others. That's a good starting point. But in terms of first trimester, that's often the trimester that you're more tired and your body struggles to find out what's going on. And that's just basically because you're creating a human being inside you and your hormones are not where they should be. So most people are feeling sick, they're tired, they want to sleep. And a lot of females don't really got the energy to work out really hard. And I think if you're that person, then you shouldn't push it. But regardless of if you're nauseous or if you're don't feeling like you've got the energy, I always recommend try to get in some sort of activity that's like just walks or sitting on a bike for a little bit, just to get in some sort of activity. I think that's a good starting point. Then you got the second trimester, which is actually kind of the best trimester. I often feel like a lot of patients of mine get rid of their musculoskeletal pains. They also have more energy. They sleep better. They feel like they can do a lot more. So this is actually a period where you can actually try to focus a little bit more on your training and try to get some good workouts done. And there's also less risk of abortion, so miscarriage. So you should be quite safe during doing a lot of exercise here. But obviously, listen to your body. And then you got the third trimester, which can kind of be good or a pain in the ass. It also depends how well you've been training before. If you're quite sporty from before, you can still train and don't necessarily strain your back or get a lot of issues. I wouldn't recommend anyone to lift super heavy in this period, just because your pelvic floor is really struggling to keep your baby and the rest of your organs kind of up. So I wouldn't push for any PRs in this time. But also, if you're the type of person who has had a lot of issues during pregnancy, I would rather just focus on a little bit less activity, like yoga. Pregnancy yoga is a really nice one, or just swimming. I find that that's a really nice exercise for most females that they can do all the way until they give birth.
Awesome. Are there any movements where it's like, well, probably just skip these?
So it's a big talk about this in terms of training abs during pregnancy. And studies kind of show that you can still kind of train abs, but maybe not laying supine, or like the crunching exercises. Some people say if this doesn't give you pain, you can still do it, but I recommend people not do it, just because there's so many other good exercises to do. And also, if you've got a big belly, you might feel dizzy, or kind of not feel quite great during this exercise due to the pressure on your vena cava.
Interesting. I'm also learning a lot here. I think it's super interesting. No, that's cool. What about after? So, of course, people sometimes may think, okay, I'm good now, you know, but then they're still breastfeeding for a little while. Kind of like similar nutrition kind of considerations, or does anything change there?
In terms of nutrition, I would also think about calcium postnatal period, as well as vitamin B12, which I've already mentioned, but calcium especially, because after birth you drop quite low in estrogen, and then you are more at risk for to be more bone fragile. And so I often recommend people being good at eating a lot of milk or supplement with calcium, just to make sure that your bone health is tip top. Around until 18 months post-birth, you should be all right, but you're a little bit more fragile 18 months post-birth.
Okay.
So make sure to get this in.
Yeah, that's a long time, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And then just nutrition-wise and all that, like with breastfeeding, it's kind of similar, like food-wise, and, you know, just eat mostly whole foods, like make sure you're getting enough, etc.
Again, because your breast milk is basically what you're eating too, so everything that you eat will go into your breast milk, and then your baby will get it. So make sure that you eat whole foods, and also make sure that you eat a little bit more, because obviously you're nourishing your baby, so you might need 200 to 500 calories more for what you normally would need. And this is not the time to diet 100%, because your baby needs you, and you need energy to be the mom for this baby.
Yeah. So important. I think this is sometimes where it makes sense too, because, you know, people are going through, you know, already kind of like with all of this, right? A lot of emotional kind of changes and, you know, ups and downs. And sometimes it's easy to forget the big picture, maybe, if that makes sense. or think, hey, like, I want this, right? Or, I mean, even people, like, I've seen people who, like, are not even trying to diet who are definitely under eating, you know what I mean? It's like, no, we got to make sure we get those calories in. Definitely not dieting during pregnancy, also, you know, after, like, you need those calories. And it will have an effect, you know? It's just important to keep that in mind. Like, it doesn't just affect you at that moment. Like, what you do affects two people.
And I also find that people don't consider how tremendous strain your body has gone through during birth, and you need to recover. And eating whole foods is the best way to recover, as well as including sleep. But obviously, when you got a newborn, you're not able to sleep as normal. So the best and first thing that you should do is make sure to get your nutrition right, both for yourself, but also for your baby.
100%. So that being said, because, I mean, we talked about, like, weight briefly, but weight gain during pregnancy, I mean, first of all, that's normal, right? Up to a certain extent.
That's normal, yes. So normal people might gain between 10 to 15 kilos. And if you're overweight, you would be recommended to gain a little bit less. And then if you're underweight, you should gain maybe a little bit more. But this again is kind of varies from person to person. And if you're gaining 9 kilos or 16 kilos and your normal weight, then it doesn't really matter. But something within that range.
How would, of course, it's difficult to have like a guideline here. But, like, how would someone, almost, like, control that part to where they gain a little, which is needed, but it doesn't turn into, you know, like, it can also, like, kind of go to the extreme end?
So if you're in a good place, if you've been followed up by the hospital, they should be kind of asking these questions: how much have you gained, and how much, because big stress if you're gaining too little, because then you start worrying about the fetus development, and if you start to gain more, then you might be at risk of developing preeclampsia, and that might be or diabetes for pregnant women, for example, and that can also give complications. So you should be followed up by some good nurses about this, and also just be open about it, because it doesn't benefit you saying that you haven't gained weight or don't. You should be open about this, because it's really important that you don't gain too much or too little.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's hard to, I mean, going back to like the food quality stuff we did talk about, if you do that for the most part, I mean, this goes for anyone really, but like if you truly mostly eat whole foods and nutritious, you know, single ingredient foods, it is really difficult to gain a whole bunch of weight. I will say that, you know?
100%, yeah.
It's possible.
A lot of the weight is not fats either. It's producing amniotic fluid that your fetus is going to swim around in, and your blood volume goes up. There's a lot of factors that are not related to gaining fat or gaining actual weight. And all of this will disappear slowly as well after birth. Just give it time. Because you don't need to go on a crazy cardio diet to lose these mama kilos, 100% not. These are normal physiological changes that happens during pregnancy and also usually goes back after birth. Just be patient and give it time.
I love that you brought that up, because I think we still think that weight and fat loss are the exact same thing, you know? But no, it's not. Now, of course, it goes hand in hand. It does go hand in hand. You know, when people are consistently losing weight, they're losing fat. You know, if they are consistently gaining weight and it's like it's a trend, yes, like we're very likely not just gaining muscle. but also here, like exactly, like I sometimes also think that maybe it's a lack of knowledge. Maybe it's, you know, not realizing, but it's like, hey, okay, yes, weight might be going up, but you're not necessarily like gaining like 15 kilos of body fat, you know? So that being said, let's say someone does have physique goals. They kind of want to, you know, look jacked, whatever you want to call it, toned, etc. When would be, and again, right, it's hard to give general guidelines, etc. But how long out would you say, like, hey, you know, like if you want to, feel free to diet, kind of.
I feel like the first year of the postnatal period is really important to just connect with your baby, recover from birth, and also just try to find back into yourself. Because stressing too much about kilos, stressing too much about how your body looks the first year, where there's a whole bunch of things that you should rather be focusing on, can give you some sort of more depressive symptoms, like postnatal depression. And just trying to be a little bit more focused about what really matters at the moment is that your baby is healthy, you're healthy, you are watching your baby grow, you're connecting with your baby, you're creating a family, also with your partner, getting new routines. There's a whole bunch of things that you should rather be focusing on the first year. And then also when you're kind of getting back into work, you've found your role with your body again, then you might consider start dieting again if that's something that you really want to do. But I will always recommend, if you're breastfeeding and you can breastfeed until the kid is up to 2 years, be done with that first, just because your baby depends on you having enough energy.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to kind of like wrap it up with, because yeah, I mean, there are so many things that are way more important for that time, you know? Yeah, like you said, then trying to do the super high cardio fat loss, you know, shred or the strict diets, like maybe hold off a little. I fully understand, you know, because we work with people and people really want to lose weight. And of course, you know, we all have physique goals, let's be honest, you know? Yes, we want to perform well and have the energy and, you know, we want to feel good and be healthy. At the end of the day, we kind of all want to look the part as well. You know what I mean? Or at least be at like a healthy, you know, fat level or, you know, fat percentage.
Something I also want to mention is that if you're starting too early as well, your pelvic floor might not be ready to push, especially on the training side. And then you might end up with things like urinary leakage or urinary incontinence. And that's also a stressor for your body that you might be have to deal with later on as well. So just make sure that you're ready when you're going in back into fitness, because you're going to have your body a long time. And as I said as well, you just gave birth to a human being that really needs you. So make sure that human gets a lot of love and attention as well.
Absolutely. Cool. Alexandra, thanks for coming on. Let's do this again. I know we'll do this again.
Yeah.
Where can the listener find you?
So I have an Instagram account, which is called Chiropractor Norton, just in Norwegian, so Chiropractor Norton. And then I'm also on Facebook if somebody wants to. I put out some stuff there as well. I don't have a Twitter account, unfortunately. So if you really want to kind of reach out to me or follow my content, I think Instagram might be the best way to do it.
Awesome.
Otherwise, I'm in Kristiansand as well. If anyone comes around in Kristiansand and need a chiropractor, I'll be there.
I kind of need one, to be honest with you. My neck is a mess, but but I live like way north. It's a day drive, I think. So,
well, we'll awesome. Sort it out when we see each other next time.
For sure, I'll make sure to link your pages, so Instagram and Facebook, in the show notes. And to our listener, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to share a quick screenshot of our episode on your stories. Would be highly appreciated. Or go to Spotify, Apple, drop us a quick 5-star rating. All right, that's it for today. As a thank you for sticking around, I'd love to send you a free copy of my ebook, The Definitive Fat Loss Nutrition Guide. Honestly, if you like the podcast, I'm sure you'll love the ebook. So if you want it, all you need to do is either click the link in the show notes or DM me on Instagram at johanvesters_OCS and I'll personally send it to you. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. I'll talk to you soon.